I had to take a deep breath because I'm about to go into some deep waters and I was feeling a little bit nervous about it, so I needed to feel centered. Beloved Queens, over the last couple of months, we've been preparing for our podcast, and in doing that, we've been discussing the women in our lives and the different stages in our lives. And for me, that person is my mom. Now, my mom passed away over 10 years ago, and that might seem like a long time, but for me, it seems like it was yesterday. And during this process, I've been missing her extremely. Like, I've been feeling really overwhelmed with this feeling of I'm wanting her to be here with me, to help me with this process and kind of to be there to that I can bounce ideas off and talk to her about it. And I've been asking God, why you had to take mommy, that's what I call my mom, so early at 54 years old. And I didn't share this with Queen Tina or Queen Veronica. I think hubby's the only person that I told. I kept on saying, like, dang, I really miss mommy. I wish she was here. But I've been questioning God. And a couple of days ago, Queen Tina called me and said, you have an assignment from God. In the next podcast, you're gonna honor your mom. And I said to myself, I was like, honor my mom? I said, but God, you're not easy. I'm here asking you, and you know how much I'm missing mommy, and you want me to talk about her? I'm like, okay. I think that's what I, it's exactly what I said to Queen Tina. I said, okay. And I got off the phone and I started asking questions after questions. I'm like, what is it you want me to talk about, mommy? Do you want me to mention that she graduated from college with honors, raising three kids, and we weren't easy. We gave her hell. Three kids and, running a household, working two jobs. I'm like, you want me to talk about the fact that she was a teacher, a pharmaceutical tech, a real estate agent? Like, what is it that you want me to talk about? No answer. I went through the whole day questioning, questioning, questioning. What should I say? What should I say? What should I say? The next day, I wake up and I hear clear as day, you forgot what I told you. I forgot. What exactly did I forget? You forgot that I told you she is not here with you physically, but she's here spiritually with you. She's been watching you, listening to you, and she's so proud of you. Of course, I just started breaking down. I wasn't even crying. I just started bawling. Hoo, hoo, hoo. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. He did say that to me, and I completely forgot about that. He said, you need to go find the t-shirt. The t-shirt? What t-shirt? Go in your closet. So I walked over to my closet, and I'm standing in front of my closet going, wait a minute. But the only t-shirt in my closet, because it's not summertime, would be my work shirt from Marleaf, my husband and I company. And he said, keep looking. It's right there in front of you. And I'm looking in my closet in an area that I have all my pants fold. There's only pants folded, winter pants, my jeans, all these stuff. And in the corner is a piece of white cloth sticking out. And I pulled that. And of course, it's a t-shirt. Now, this t-shirt, I made this t-shirt 2019. When I made this t-shirt, hubby and I started our business, and we decided that we wanted to give back to Jamaica because we're both Jamaicans, and we said we wanted to give back to Jamaica. And we were doing an event sponsoring some youth soccer kids, and we wanted to wear the t-shirts. Now, I had these t-shirt made, and on the front of the t-shirt, as a matter of fact, I have the t-shirt on right now. And on the front of the t-shirt, it has my mom's nickname that some of her girlfriends call her. And it says, Addie's Indescribable Gifts. And it has the three gifts around a gift box. And those gifts are love, compassion, and service. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, thank you, God. I needed this so much. He was like, this is what she instilled in you. And this is what you need to honor her with. This is why you're doing the podcast. This is what I wanted you to do in 2019 instead of thinking you wanted to do a nonprofit. You wanted to do a nonprofit, but that's not what I wanted you to do. And I'm like, okay, wow. How could I have forgotten the t-shirt? How could I have forgotten the message of knowing that she's always with me? And I know this is for somebody who's listening out there who's missing a loved one, especially a woman that nurtured and cared for you throughout your life. So today, I'm going to honor my mom with gratitude. Mommy, I am grateful for the gifts you shared with our family, friends, your grandkids, my brother and I. You gifted us with your love. You taught us to love not only with words, but with action. I watched you as a little girl care for everyone around you, recognizing when someone needed you and immediately helping them, showing them compassion regardless of their circumstances, sacrificing your needs to serve others. I am so grateful for everything you have done here on earth during your 54 years to make this place better for your family and friends and everyone you encountered. Mommy, today I give thanks for being able to spend time with you as your daughter. You are a pillar of strength, a queen among queens, queen boss. You are my queen bee. I honor and salute you today and always, your daughter. Beloved, as we continue to celebrate women this month, ladies, say this affirmation with me. Blessed are you, O Lord of the universe, who has created me to be a black woman. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back to the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matherson with my ladies, Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray. Ready, queens?
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean Queens in the ATL.
Woo! Yeah, man.
Just rock with me. Just rock with me. Feel the vibes, man.
As a daughter, a wife, a mother, we go through so many stages. With our evolution, we see things through different lenses. We have the daughter lens, then there's the single female lens, the wife lens, the mother lens. And many times, if we don't get to deal with our childhood trauma, we become a woman moving through life resenting our parents. For us, that person has been our father. Queen V, your thoughts?
I mean, for me, it was difficult for me until definitely God divine intervention, where he was like, you have to forgive him. Because as much as you might feel abandoned or rejected, you know, he was probably doing the best that he could at the time, because he felt that he had to marry this woman because they were civil servants. And back then they had to, you couldn't just be pregnant and be a teacher. You could, you know, you have to show that you were married or you would lose your profession. And there it is. I was put to the side, and you have to put yourself in their shoe and think, okay, yeah, you can say that you wouldn't do that, but you are not in their shoe. That time, that environment, that time period, given the situation that they were surrounded with, you don't know what decision. Even us, I mean, ask our kids. Some of the things we are doing now, our kids probably like, if I was that, I wouldn't do that like how mommy did, or I wouldn't do that like how daddy did. So you really have to give the grace.
True.
Give grace to your parents. They seriously were doing the best that they could do at the time.
I remember one time my father had like some big 70th birthday or 80th birthday, something. And yeah, if I remember, say, I have like probably 11 or 12 siblings, so a whole lot of kids. And I remember there was like going to be this big party for him, and everybody's planning and what they want to say and blah, blah. And I just feel like I never know the cat. I don't know you. What am I going to say about you? I don't know you. And I remember my mom was like, if you want to go to this party, I will pay for you to go. And I'm like, why should I put myself out? What's the point? And I remember going to this party. And the party was, it's almost to me, this is how I describe it in a quick nutshell. It was like a cliff notes about who this man was. Because it was friends, some of his other kids and people who he knew for a long time, family members, all of these people just talking about how funny he was, how he loved to read, how this and that, da 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 da. And you end up realizing that so much that you are is from this man. Spent a lot of my life rejecting him and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just
You're just like him. I used to hear my aunt, more my aunt would say, you are so like your father. And I'm like, how can I be like someone I've never been around? How can I have traits of a person that I hardly saw? You question it, but you become what you were running from.
It's not even a question. I got pissed when people said that to me, because I'm like, why are you comparing me to somebody I don't even know?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know him. Nah. I was very, very mad with him. And so it's very interesting, because when I finally got the chance to sit down and ask him the tough questions. My father is a very honest man, you know. See, if you can't ask him the question, he will tell you the truth. And he told me the stories of just how he grew up and how his dad taught him as a man that if you do not bring home the bacon and bring the money, you are not a man. Money makes you a man. And so in his mind, why he stayed away is if when he didn't have any money, he never come around me. Not that he didn't want to spend time, but he just thought that his presence was more important than his physical presence. Bringing something to me was more important to me. And I asked him the question. I said, Daddy, so you're telling me that you didn't think say your money was more important than me building a relationship and getting to know you? He said, that's what my father taught me.
Wow. Kids only do what they know and what they learn.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Even as adults, that was embedded in his brain.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Still is. So, again, the parents that made the mistakes or what we feel like is our trauma, but they did it the best they could with what they know how. My mom, when she had me, I was the girl child that she wanted. I was the baby girl that she always wanted because she had two boys before. And when she told me that she had me alone in the hospital, and when she looked in my face, saw that she had the baby girl that she always wanted, daddy wasn't around or anything. She was there by herself. And she said, when she looked in my face, she said, I grew up barefoot, even though my father was a shoemaker.
Wow.
She said, my daughter will never grow up in poverty. And that was her motivation for traveling to the United States as a nurse when I was 8 months old and left me with my grandma.
Wow. But you thought that she left you?
I thought my father and my mother abandoned me.
But she made a vow, and she was making sure that that will never happen. But you didn't know about that vow.
Protection.
I didn't find that out till I was in my
40s. Wow.
See?
Hello. Don't worry, Tina. You're not alone, girl. I actually, I am building a relationship with my dad now that I'm in my 40s, which is crazy. Like, when I remember first coming to the U.S. and meeting him, had no idea who this person was. He met me at the airport, and he was calling my name. And I'm looking at him like, who's this man?
Wow.
He knows my name, but I don't know him. Because when he left at 2 and migrated to the States, my mom never showed me pics. I didn't know what he looked like. Like, I never saw pics. So it was a total, like, okay, why he's calling me. And I didn't go over to him, nothing. I was there looking for my mother because that's who I know. I'm looking
Meanwhile,
for my
he's there to
like,
come pick you up.
He's there to pick me up. And I would not go with him.
Really?
Because I don't know this person.
Stranger danger.
For real. Like, I was like, I don't know who you are.
So, Trina, how you end up leave with him?
Oh, my mom came.
Wow, you were not leaving until your mom came.
Until my mother came.
Wow.
Where was going with the stranger danger? I knew better. He kept on calling me over and I'm not moving because we were with the hair hostess. And she was like, do you know that person? I'm like, nope. And he's having this puzzled look on his face. But I'm like, nope, I don't know him. So she stood there waiting with us. It was 6 of us traveling together. As I was like, all kids. I was like, I don't know him.
How old were you?
I was 12 years old. He left when I was 2. So that's a 10-year gap.
Yeah, there's no way you would have known him.
There's no way. I didn't remember him at all. I'm telling you, no memories, none at all. No memories.
You know, and so many Jamaican girls can tell you that they grew up in this situation, not knowing how they look. That was one of the things I had an issue with. I just don't know you personally. I don't know what you like. I don't know your dislikes. I don't know what makes you you. I don't know what makes me like you. It's like this person was nothing.
Yeah.
When they keep themselves away like that. And again, this is just the girl side talking, right? But bottom line is, daddy's out there, okay? Your girl does not know your essence, does not know who you are, what makes you tick, what makes herself like you, if you are not there. So yeah, you might have beef with her mom. Yeah. This stuff happens. But it's your responsibility to get to know your child, not the other way around.
Isn't that the truth? Mm. That's it. That's it.
It shouldn't be. And I mean, as adults, I remember now us having to take, you know, you kind of say, all right, how long is this jig is up? I can't be mad at this person forever because I'm going to go around like an angry person. This angry jig is up. How do I, you know, get to know someone that is a complete stranger to me, but not really because his blood makes me up.
Mm. But it's also you're knowing him as an adult. So you're knowing him not as the person who he was, but now as the person who he is, because we all have stages, you know, we all go through stages. And I think because you're grown and you know better, you actually have different lenses because you also have a child. So you're looking through the lens of a parent, of just the child. And even your emotions can be tied up in being the child, because the child was the one that was hurt.
Yeah.
You still have to look and be like, I wonder if I was in that position, how would I react? So then you start having sympathy from the parent side of you. And that's the only way I was able to approach a conversation with my father. No, we are not buddy buddies and friends, because I just don't think that will ever happen. But I could still have a conversation with him, and you still introduce him to my child and my husband and everything, only because I could now view it from a different, through different lenses then.
And
I can't.
Yeah. And then also you can ask adult questions versus.
Right, from the hurt for the child, from the little girl, like
girl.
Why you no longer want you can still ask the whys,
yeah,
but you're not asking it out of hurt anymore. You just want a simple explanation as to, and the thing is, you're more open to the answer, because I think the answers that we get from the questions that we ask are our child mind will not be able to understand it. But the parent lens, the parent ear and the parent lenses that we're listening through and seeing through, we will understand more when they explain to us their why.
And you know what? You're absolutely right about the parent lens, Veronica, because I think that I wanted to have a relationship with my dad for my kids. And I remember even with my husband, I encouraged him to reconnect with his dad, because I wanted our daughter to know who her grandfather was. You know, it was more doing it for them, not so much for myself, because I think I accepted that the relationship is never going to be what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm living my life. I'm doing me. But when I had, you know, when I had my daughter, then I was like, wait a minute, but I want her to know her grandfathers. And that's when I started making an effort to say, okay, I'm going to have to work on this relationship now. It wasn't for myself. It was for, you're right. It was looking at it from a parent perspective.
Interesting.
Plus kids will get you out, you know, because they will be asking, they ask us the tough questions. Like, where is so-and-so and why isn't so-and-so? Because, you know, they're at school, they're listening to friends, and, you know, they see other, you know, Grandparents Day, and
grandparents
who comes
Day.
To Grandparents Day, and who's missing, and they're like, okay, so where's my this and where's my that? So you're forced to face your past, the things that you hid, the things that, you know, you build that wall to keep you, you know, emotionally secure. But you have to revisit yeah. that and deal with those situations so that you can come to your child with an honest response. Because they're not going to, and because, you know, even when you respond to your child, when they ask you, so where's daddy? And he's like, so why don't you talk to him? Or, you know, you don't really have an answer because the hurt child was blocking it. But you had, you know, your kids really forced you to grow up.
There's something that, in my experience, is like, you can forgive them and choose to truly forgive them. But it doesn't really mean, like, it goes back to when V was saying we're not buddy buddies. Forgiveness don't mean that you're going to get back the father that you lost.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never get that back.
Yeah.
Because you'll never get that bond.
Right.
That's the truth. Like, I feel like my father and I are friends more so than a father-daughter relationship. Because I see that in my husband and my daughter. They have a father-daughter relationship. I can look at that and say, oh, that's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
That's how, you know, and imagine if I had that, but I know I'll never have that. We're friends.
Yeah. And that's fine because again, relationships are built when time is put in it. And when you don't have time with someone, I think I got okay with the point that I can call him, I can talk to him, I can say happy birthday or whatever, but, you know, I understand that a father is the person who I originated from.
Right.
Because it's a major deal. But what I do see when he comes around the grandkids is that his mannerisms are similar to my son's. And it blows you away that it can skip the generations like that, even though I didn't grow up seeing him. But like when he does come and visit me and stuff and he's around the kids, you're like, oh my gosh, he's Timothy. Oh my goodness. This is why this kid is like that. And you get to see what you didn't realize was there when you spend time. And if you don't spend the time, you don't get to see those things. But part of spending time with the person is sometimes us getting out of the way where you can at least begin to say, you know what? I'm going to try to forgive. I am going to, and it's not even try, because it's very, very difficult. I'm telling you that I can dismiss somebody like nobody's business. Remember, you're dead to me? I could do that very easily. It's a pattern. It's something that you got to concentrate not to do because you know it don't serve you no purpose. But you can also come to the table like an adult as well and say, he did the best he could with what he knew, the limited amounts of knowledge he had. And that again, everybody can learn to do better. That's where we all are. You can learn to do better so you don't get stuck in patterns that don't serve you moving forward are being the best person that you could possibly be. Yeah, but don't chase a relationship that, again, similar to some people chasing fairy tale relationships with a man. You can't chase a relationship like, okay, you're going to give this person a chance and I'm going to forgive them, but the first time them go back in their pattern, you wipe them off again, like writing someone off because of patterns that have existed over the years. That is not moving anybody forward. Sometimes you have to understand that. You have to understand that people are people. Nobody not perfect. We're all in progress.
Yeah.
Under construction. And honestly, one of the things that you have to try to do sometimes, and I have to tell myself to do it, is try to look for the best in somebody else instead of expecting the worst. Especially when it comes to girls with daddy issues. Because we could write off a brother. Mm. But yeah, we could write it off. I'm telling you the truth. I'm queen of that. But
it's just self-preservation.
You wanna
protect, because you know what that hurt is, you know, and you don't want, you've already built up a wall, and you've already created a nice cocoon for yourself to make sure that doesn't happen again. So anybody that tries to, you know, recreate that hurt, that's, you make sure you go far away from that.
Run to the hills. But it's so funny. I read this study that talked about the fact that as much as people talk that girls are like their moms most of all, the study showed that girls are more like their father than anything else. So he might not be around. He might not be there with you every step of the way. He might not be spending time with you, and that makes you mad. But you are more like him than you could ever imagine.
Wow.
So we just have to give everybody grace. That's it. You give your husband grace. You give your father grace. You give sometimes, some people have mother issues. You give your mother grace. They're just doing the best that they could with what they have. Sometimes there are some people whose mom never said, I love you. Stick a pin.
The Beloved Queens Podcast will continue after this break.
For the month of March, we'll be doing some Empress shoutouts. Today's Empress shoutout goes to Monique Bob Schlickman. Monique is the Executive Director and CEO at Caris Pregnancy Counseling and Resources. Caris is a faith-based nonprofit pregnancy counseling agency. They exist to create culture where Christians help both women and children thrive during and after unplanned pregnancy. They work to create this culture through a dual approach of serving women and equipping Christians. Thank you, Empress Monique. You can call them at 312-229-5700 or visit them at caris.org. Let's get back to the juicy conversation in progress.
And you have to understand that your husband can have those issues as well. He might have father issues or he might have mother issues. Some husbands who you marry, they might never had parents. They might have been raised by someone else who was another, you know, a guardian or a grandparent or an in-law or however. So you have to deal with those issues. So you have to, you know, find grace. Stepmothers. Ooh, step. That weren't good. Like the Cinderella stepmothers. So you have to also allow your husband to deal with those issues, because some men, as you know, it is, they don't really talk. So sometimes you are the first person, you, their wife, are the first person they are going to go through these issues with. And just as how he might have triggers for you, you might have triggers for him. And you might see him behaving in certain ways that he might not even know that it was a trigger. And both of you have to deal with it.
You're acting like my mother.
Mm-hmm. So you have to give him grace as well as he goes through his stuff, because you are blending together and you have to fit this, you know, you have to fit, you know, those kids' toys where they were putting the square in the block squares and they have to put it in. We're not going to try to put a triangle in the circle square. Are trying to foot the triangle in the square. We are trying to make sure that this marriage works and this fits. And you don't have to be alike, but you can grow to be together with all your differences.
And truth be told, you are completely opposite.
Opposite attract, ladies. Opposite attract.
You're completely opposite, but you have to. There's this thing where just try to remember that you're going to be his safe space. He hopes that you're going to be his safe space. But yeah, just like You have triggers, and it's not always about you. Yeah. He has those.
Yeah, childhood traumas, ladies.
He has triggers. And if you're seeing something going around in circle over and over and over again, chances are it's a trigger.
But ladies, you have to have that. This is where you're saying where it with triggers and stuff. You have to allow him to be comfortable to speak to you and open up to you. A lot of times we just feel that men shouldn't speak because, you know, they're men. They're supposed to be manly and whatever. Men will talk.
Yes.
If given the opportunity.
Yes.
If they feel secure enough, they will open up to you. You have to create that environment in your household. That's what you're there for. You're their mate. You're their partner. Mm. They should be able to can tell you anything that they won't even tell their homeboys.
Right.
Their mama.
Or their mothers.
Look at Trina, and Queen Trina is the queen of digging out stuff. She, let me tell you, when she starts her Q&A, okay, journalist in chief / wife / she gets stuff out. Talk to us how you do that, Queen Trina.
One of the ways that I like to approach hubby is, first of all, being open with him. Talking about what is happening with me to kind of, as them Jamaicans, dry mouth type shell. So being open with him and kind of, you know, taking the lead and asking questions. But what I never forget this. I don't like American football.
Oh, okay.
Let me just put that out there. Nothing against it. It's just, it's too much of this stuff. And I just get confused. But I noticed he loves watching the game. And one day I just decided to sit there with him and watch a game. In between the commercial, and listen to me, ladies, in between the commercial, don't try to have a conversation while the plays are being made. But in between the commercial, I would ask questions. And I was like, wait a minute. He was just, because he's comfortable. He's doing something he enjoys, which is watching the game. And he was just very open and honest about whatever I was asking him. And I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot to come watch football some more often. I learned so much in watching that game with him. Don't ask me about any plays, ladies, but I tell you, I learned a lot. But being interested in the things that he's interested in. I mean, he felt good about teaching me or attempting to teach me the game. That made him even more, because that's his element. He's trying to teach me. He's excited and he's like, yeah, man, this is what's happening, da da da. And I'm like, okay, baby. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm waiting for the next commercial to get my little questions answered. So you have to meet your partner where they're comfortable. Sometimes it might be after an activity in the bedroom. You know what I'm alluding to, ladies. But that might be his safe space. Like, you have to know your man. Know what makes him tick. You have to know when to approach him, because you cannot ask him a question as soon as he's walking through the door and expect answer. Think about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm coming from the outside world. All the stressors of the day is on my shoulders. I'm trying to release that. And as soon as I walk through the door, you're going to ask me 101 questions. What you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
You have to get them when they're feeling safe and comfortable. You have to. You just have to, ladies. Safe space. We all need that safe space.
That's good. And asking questions is a good thing, but sometimes we barrage the questions. Like, I remember I used to be this type of person where, and I've stopped that, thank you, Jesus, learning. But I used to be this type of person because, like I said, as a learner, you learn everything you need to know about everything. Information dominance is what they call it.
Mm.
And then you're kind of like dumping down everything on the person that you just learned, that you're trying to, you just learned this thing and you're so excited. Chances are, if you're the person who loves to do the research, the person that you marry is the person who likes bullet points. I'm sorry. And so you cannot dump the thesis, the master's hypothesis on the person if this person is not like that. And so it's understanding that there are going to be some key differences in you and how you communicate as well.
Yes.
Because you can get the answers that you need, but sometimes you put so much information up front that you have completely overwhelmed the person that you are expecting an answer from.
That's so true.
Sometimes we have people who, one's a planner and one's not. One's an action person and one's a planner.
Oh, yes. That's
right?
Me.
And you see the beginning, the middle, and the end already, but the person don't see the plan how you're going to get there. How can he support you when you don't have the steps? Because he needs steps.
Or, let me just talk about my business. You might be the person who keep changing your mind because you keep moving ahead. Like you try, you are not afraid to try different things. So you might say, we want to do this. And you're off in the races doing that. And midway through, you get bored.
Pivot
to another thing. And your husband is just joining the bandwagon when you are halfway. And you're jumping off and he does not understand. But we just started this. Why are we not finishing this? You're off to something else because you got bored or whatever. And you decide to do something else. You have to learn when to slow your ass down.
There's also, you could be the girl that's impulsive. You could be the girl that's an impulsive chick that if you feel it and the emotions and the spirit moves.
You're ready.
God said.
So we moving.
And your spouse could be the person that says, I know God says, but what you going to do? How are you going to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there are some spouses like my husband. He's like, I will support you with anything that you want to do. But how are you going to get there? Do you want to starve while you're doing it? He will tell you real quick.
And some of us are like, but the Lord will provide.
He gives us the husband right there to bring us back to our senses. Because sometimes we're just so reactive, so emotional with stuff. We're not putting a proper plan together, executing, trying to go forward. It's just like, I feel this. I'm going to do it. I don't know how, but it's going to happen. And no. You have the husband right there who is this just firm foundation, who is saying, I know you can do it, but I know you can make a better plan than the non-plan that you have right now.
And I'm the planner that I start planning, and I realize I have to make sure that he's also involved in the planning process because I'm quick to plan it out. Me can't tell you stage one, well, two, I'll do all the planning. I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't this supposed
It's a family vacation, but it's Trina's vision.
It's really my vision.
I'm going to shut my mouth on that part.
Well, this is what we're doing. The activities, everything. The time we fly out, everything
Trina,
is being planned.
The truth and cleanse their soul.
Hello. Girl, down to the T, every dot, everything.
Yeah. So the planning person, there's all these types of personalities that come into the relationship. The planning person can be so crazy that they plan their way and completely forgot that the other person is a part of the equation.
Yep.
Okay, I remember I used to plan my whole year come December 31st. My whole year is planned out month by month. My plan. We're going to read these books. We're going to go these places. The kids are going to learn these verses. we're doing this month, this in January, this in February, this in March, this in April. I'm going to tell you, say extensive planning. Not nugget done, you know why?
It was done in unison.
Me, myself, and I in the plan. So planning, the planning person needs to take into account the other person is an individual. You cannot just act like they're not there and saying it's my way or the highway.
All right,
Trine, you're guilty of it. You know which excursions you're going on. There's a time and place to plan, you know. But there's a time and place to plan. Ooh. But you always have to keep at the forefront of your mind that it's two people in the marriage. You ain't married to yourself.
Hello.
No, but the thing is, it's always part of blending the two people together. The thing is, you are so accustomed with being you.
Yep.
For how long? Yep. I think we talked about this in one of our episodes. It took, well, for me, 26 years being single. Mm. 26 years. And then I became a partner with someone. There is no way I'm going to leave the 26 years of knowing who I am and who I, you know, I made the decision for myself. If I wanted to go somewhere, I didn't ask anybody. Now you have to be cognizant of the fact that you are not alone. Mm. It's not just you. And yeah. don't be stubborn
gotta
when the person says, what time you coming home?
Gotta
you're not
in.
My father, because I'm just speaking the truth, ladies. It's not...
I don't even want you to call. Don't ask me when I'm coming home. If I get there.
I mean, that is someone showing that they care. They want to make sure that you're safe. They're not trying to control you, because I know what that is. You're trying to feel like, I don't want anybody control me. And yes, woman. Yes, Miss Independent. Yeah. Yes, Miss, I can do it all by myself. I don't need nobody. Yes, you married him because you needed somebody. So guess what? You have to shift your thinking. You have to change how you view I to we. It's now us. We and us. There's no more I. And I'm not saying it's going to, you know, shift overnight, because for me, as I tell everybody, it took me 6 years. Don't let it take that long for you. It doesn't have to be. It's training. It's retraining your mind to remember that you're not alone anymore, that you have someone who is thinking about you and wants the best for you. So they're just asking, what time should they expect you to be home? That's it. They care for you. And you want to know, you don't want somebody coming in at 3 a.m. Aren't you going to be concerned?
That was me. Preach it. I would be at work, love my job, work until the wee hours of the night, not one call. I'm going to tell you right now, that was not right, right? My husband, is he asleep, right? Or he's up there waiting. And I didn't think anything was wrong with it. Okay? That was me, because you're working and you're trying to prove yourself in corporate and you're trying to be whatever and you're passionate about what you're doing. But without thinking about the other person.
But not so, Tina, you also thought, but you know I'm at work. You know I'm at work. No. You left 9 a.m. It's now 2 a.m.
Where is my wife? And remember, Queen V talked about it earlier, they're there to protect. So when I'm out at all hours of the night, right, working... He's worried. So ladies, please, me make my mistake them. Seriously, it was not very pretty. Okay? And my husband, he's such a strong person. He would say to me, you know, other people is in this relationship too.
And those silent words can kill you, you know.
He's so silent and smooth with theme word. Them. It's just, we call them bulla in a Jamaica. You understand? Because he's like, you realize
Bola.
You're not by yourself?
Bola.
You realize that? Manu, a lot of is women raising about men are different. And he will just drop those little things and you just get bullying him because you're like, but I thought I was being a partner. Uh-uh. I'm doing it my way.
Yes, Sinatra.
My way.
Yes, Sinatra.
So, ladies, it's hard when you just get married to be thinking about us. But it's critical.
Yes.
It's critical. Your way is not always the right way. And you don't have to always win. Because chances are when you're the person who is always winning, your spouse is losing. I remember there's a team now. So you're on team lose. Because the two only now win together.
All right.
It's tough. It's tough. But there's always light at the end of the tunnels. I look at it, if there is hope for me, if there is hope for Queen V.
Oh, Lord.
If there is hope for Queen Trina. Ah. Everybody listening, there's hope for you.
Hello.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at The Beloved Queens. See you next time.